Welcome to the Treasure Corner. I'm Dan Hughes. I've been metal detecting since 1973, and I've written for several of the Treasure magazines. I invite you to check out my book after you listen to this program. You're a treasure hunting novice. You've bought your first metal detector. You've studied the manual until you have it nearly memorized, and you're eager to start finding valuables. Where should you start? Like the man said in that great inspirational book, there are acres of diamonds in your own backyard. Your own yard is the ideal place to start, for four reasons. Number one, you don't have to drive to get there. No gasoline expenses, so you'll at least break even if you don't find a thing. Two, you don't have to get permission from the owner. Well, okay, maybe your wife will have her doubts about your sanity, but except for her, you don't have to ask anyone if you can dig there. Three, unlike your local parks and schoolyards, your own yard has probably never been detected before. It may well be full of coins. I found over 100 coins in my own yard when I started. Now, granted, my house was on a corner lot in an old downtown area, which is prime hunting grounds. But still, unless your home is brand new, there are going to be coins in the yard. And number four, it takes a while to learn to extract a coin from the ground without leaving a crater. And you must learn to eliminate all evidence of your work before you hit the parks or your neighbor's yards. And while you're at it, turn off the discrimination and dig every target. The more items you recover, trash or treasure, the better you'll get at digging and not leaving holes. Please, don't dig in a park or a schoolyard, or especially other private yards, until you're sure you can do a neat job and leave no evidence you were there. This is doubly important on a nicely manicured lawn. One thing beginners don't think about is time. It takes a lot of time to thoroughly cover a small area of ground. And often you just don't have a lot of time to do a thorough job. So the question is, how can you make the best use of a short amount of time? First, eyeball the terrain and try to judge or make an educated guess as to where coins are most likely to be. If you're in a yard, start just outside the front and back doors, scour the ground around the edges of sidewalks, check under the clothesline, try around the swing set. You'll get better at this with experience. Don't just wander randomly about the area. When you do find a coin, stop right there and search thoroughly for several feet right around the area where you found the coin. There's an excellent chance you'll find more, because coins often appear in bunches like schools of fish. Even if it makes no sense that you're finding coins in an unlikely area, the odds are that there was something there years ago that attracted people and caused them to drop coins. When you're lucky, you'll have as much time as you need, and you'll be able to search every square inch of an area. Perhaps you're looking for an engagement ring you know was lost in the vicinity, or you're in an area that was occupied a century ago and has never been searched before. How can you be sure you don't miss any spots? The best way to search an area methodically is to put down four stakes at the four corners of the plot you want to search. Those bright yellow plastic tent pegs work fine. Stretch a length of kite string around these four corners to make a rectangle. Put two more stakes about 2 feet inside one of the sides and stretch another length of kite string between them. This gives you a 2-foot-wide corridor or path. Start at one end of the path and slowly work your way to the other end, covering every inch of ground between the two string lines as you go. Overlap, overlap, overlap. Be thorough. When you get to the end of the row, move the outermost pegs to 2 feet inside your second string so you have a new corridor marked. Continue moving the outer pegs inward until you've covered your entire plot. When you dig a target, be sure to always use your detector to recheck your hole before you fill it in. Sometimes you'll find another target that was hidden below the first, shallower target. When I was writing for Treasure Quest magazine, I interviewed a Kentucky metal detector dealer named Rich Green. He told me that one day he drove by a golf course in Louisville and he had some free time. He had previously received permission to hunt the rough areas of the course, so he got his detector out of his car and headed onto the golf course. When he reached the rough, he immediately saw that someone with no manners at all had been there before him. They had dug 30 or 40 holes, and they hadn't filled any of them in. The area looked like a minefield. Rich saw a discarded pull tab in the middle of one of the unfilled holes. Someone had dug the pull tab and then just dropped it back on top of the dirt. Rich picked up the pull tab and put it in his trash pouch, and then he swung his detector over the hole. He got a good beep, and this time it wasn't a pull tab. About 2 inches below the bottom of the pull tab hole, he found two $5 gold pieces. He sold them for $1,500. The previous hunter had gotten the beep, dug the pull tab, and then moved on in search of another target without checking the pull tab hole again. The moral here, of course, is always recheck your holes after you've dug a target. Don't fill them in until you're sure you've retrieved everything that was there. A word of warning for the new treasure hunter, don't be discouraged if you don't find a lot of coins at first. Even though today's metal detectors do a lot of the work for you, you still have to pay your dues and practice before you will begin to do well consistently. Some people make a great find right off the bat, and those people find it easy to stick with the hobby. Others don't find anything valuable their first few times out, and they put the detector in the closet and go on to something else. If you stick to it, success will come. Okay, let's end this session with a list. Here are some of the desirable qualities of a good coin shooter. Number 1, you must have an intense desire to master the hobby. Number 2, you must have the desire to spend long hours doing research on prospective sites. Number 3, you must have the intense determination to keep swinging that detector no matter how many junk items you're digging. 4, you must have the proper equipment and you must know how to use it as if it were a part of you. 5, you must know proper recovery techniques, that is, you must leave no evidence of your digging. 6, you must have the nerve to approach total strangers to talk metal detecting with them. And number 7, you must know and apply the 3 P's that will lead to success in most any endeavor: patience, persistence, and practice. Thanks for listening. I'd love to hear your feedback or ideas for future shows. Drop me a note at the Treasure Corner. That's all one word, thetreasurecorner@gmail.com. And check out my book, The Metal Detecting Manual, at treasuremanual.com. Until next time, from the Treasure Corner, I'm Dan Hughes.